We would have been talking about how she performed at the Olympics, but of course that's been delayed a year. She's a Pan American Games champion. She's a World Cup medalist in track cycling, a recent graduate at the University of Alberta, and currently lives in Sherwood Park. We are joined by Kelsey Mitchell. Kelsey, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. That was quite the introduction. Thank you for that.
Hey, that's what I tell you. Try to soften you up early, right? Get you in a better mood. Now, I was reading up on your bio last night, and it said, you know, you just got used to biking like in 2017, but you're not like Phoebe Buffay, who had never actually ridden a bike before. You knew how to ride a bike. You just never ridden on like a velodrome, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I have ridden bikes before, but yeah, I'd never done a velodrome, never done a fixed gear. So yeah, it was all pretty new to me.
So now my understanding is in August of 2017, you attended the RBC training ground and you exceeded the national standard for track cycling on a watt bike. And then, you know, that got you to further testing and away you go. So had you been training a lot? Like, when did you get interested in cycling and what was your other athletic background prior to going to that event in August of 2017?
Yeah, so played sports my entire life, played soccer at University of Alberta and at NAIT as well. Finished my 5 years post-secondary, went traveling for 3 months, came back and was a little lost. Wasn't ready to give up on the sports dream of going to the Olympics. So I heard about a program called RBC Training Grounds, basically an Olympic combine where they test your power, speed, endurance. And then national sport organizations can reach out to you and do additional testing. So I trained through that summer. I was driving a truck for Strathcona County, and I'd go on for runs on my lunch break and then train at the gym after. And then, yeah, flew out to Toronto and tried out for the RBC training grounds. Did a vertical jump test where it tested my peak leg power, and then a Cycling Canada representative was there, was excited about my vertical, got me on a watt bike, and yeah, was really happy about my numbers, and then they signed me as an athlete.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. You know, you just come in there, they're basically just looking for great athletes and then trying to, you know, fit you into what would be your best sport. And you know, how did you feel when it was cycling was the one that was excited about you?
Mixed feelings. I was excited for any sport to be interested in me, but I wasn't much of a cyclist. Like, I knew it would be a very steep learning curve, but I was really excited about it. Like, this was my dream and my goal out of going to this program, and yeah, it definitely exceeded my expectations.
So what were some of the technical skills that you didn't realize would be so important for the sport of cycling?
Yeah, there's a lot to. I thought it was just riding a bike in a circle, but it's not. There's actually a lot to it. Yeah, it's a fixed gear, so as long as you're moving, you got to keep pedaling. There's no brakes, and you're hitting speeds of 70 kilometers an hour, going shoulder to shoulder with other people. You draft in the sport. There's a lot of tactics. But they did say when I first started that I had a very nice pedal stroke, so that, oh, I guess, was my natural ability coming into play.
Well, you know, like, obviously power on these bikes, like, just, you know, the power you can derive from your legs, I don't know, upper body something, but just like the leg power for you, were you someone, Kelsey, did you always have like naturally strong legs, or did you really have to work to improve your strength, lower body?
I played soccer and we did a little bit of lifting in the gym in university, but like, I could squat nothing compared to the people already on the team. But throughout my life, I played volleyball and basketball, and one of the things I could do is jump. Okay. I just naturally could jump really well, and so I guess that obviously played a big role in them even noticing me and picking me up. So
when you first started cycling, what were you squatting then, and what do you squat now?
Well, my squat was very ugly. I definitely wasn't getting down very low, but I would do like 100 kilograms max. And then I guess now I'm probably, my max is 150 kilograms.
Oh, so you're going basically from 200 pounds to 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Give it to, yeah. So it's a pretty big, it's a pretty big improvement.
Is that one leg or two legs? Just kidding. Joined by Kelsey Mitchell, Canadian cyclist.
Maybe
Kelsey,
she's doing a Bulgarian split squat.
She's strong. I've seen videos of her. Now, Kelsey.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a sick video of you jumping up and touching the rim on a basketball. Now, my buddy Gregor, he can't even touch the net. He's got no
what
power in his legs. But you know, that is you talk about the hops in your legs. Like, that is some impressive hops to get up there and touch it like that.
Thank you. I mean, I was so pumped, and like, yes. If you've never tried to jump and touch like the net, even, you can't really understand how big of an accomplishment that was. And yeah, I've been jumping for that thing for a while, so I was very pumped to finally touch it.
Yeah, I loved your reaction. You were so jacked. You just turned the camera. You're like pumping, like you just, you know, scored the winning goal in the champ. I loved it. I thought it was so pure. I love that video.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it took a lot of takes.
I hear you. Now, what about as far as, there was a bit of disruption, obviously, with COVID and training. So what did your training look like when maybe gyms weren't, you know, open and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I actually am based right now out of Milton, Ontario. This is where the national team is and the velodrome. Mm-hmm. So the velodrome was closed, so we had weight equipment in our garage, and we'd bring it out onto the sidewalk and just lift out there. And then we had stationary bikes in the house that we were just riding on. So that was about 3 months. And then we got back into the velodrome in June, and we've been on the track ever since.
So now, Kelsey, you mentioned earlier how, you know, there was a training aspect, just learning to ride the bike. But then you talk about going, you know, 70K shoulder to shoulder, you know, on the track. And how much of like a lack of fear is required to be a successful cyclist? Because, you know, how much do you feel that's part of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a gradual thing, because when I first started, I was probably going 30 kilometers an hour was my fastest, and then it got to 40, and then 50, and then, you know, so you just like gradually get more used to it, more comfortable on the bike, and then that's when you start hitting those speeds. Because I was not going 70 kilometers an hour when I first started, that's for sure. But yeah, like, it's super steep banking, and so like, you got to keep pedaling or you're going to slip and fall. And so that's always in the back of your mind. And like, my first 3 weeks I was on the track and I had crashed going like 50 kilometers an hour, and I like slid and was like so shaken up, but then like I was perfectly fine. So it's like, okay, that's my crash, and we're going to just get back up, get back on the bike and keep going. So yeah, I had my first crash, and so we're good.
So when you have a crash like that, is it just because you're taking the wrong angle out of or into a turn?
Yeah, I was just, I touched the apron, which is like the flatter part of the track, with my wheel, and I just slid. So it's like, it was my own fault. But like, as long as you're staying on the track and you're pedaling, you're pretty safe.
So you don't want to touch the flat part?
Not in the corner, no. Oh. You do not. I learned the hard way. Yeah.
Now, you know, Gregor and I, we had a race, a bike race, and I want to know about the etiquette of racing. We went, and it was a little bit like the hare and the turtle.
It was a 20-kilometer race, yeah. Kelsey, on a road bike.
Oh, wow, okay.
And yeah, we were pretty impressive,
and
obviously.
We were. It was just kind of on a flat straightaway.
Yeah.
And it was pretty close, and then magically Struts claimed that his chain fell off. And he like wanted me to stop.
Yeah.
I don't recall that being anywhere in the guidelines of race etiquette.
Sorry, Kels, before we go on, it wasn't close. I was crushing him.
It
was like
about?
The tortoise and the hare, whatever that story is. I was way in front of you and my chain broke and he just blew by me. Didn't even give me a second look. So what would be the proper etiquette as a professional in your opinion to handle that moment?
To be honest, I'd go for the win, and I would leave you in the dust. Yeah.
Well, so there's two people on here that are winners, and there's one who's got a loser mentality. We kind of know who that is, no question. I thank you, because now we don't have to hear about it anymore at all. Hey, we got a Pan American Games champion, a World Cup medalist, Struddy. You go for the win. Figure it out. So I love it.
Exactly.
So now you mentioned you're training in Ontario. What's the plan as far – because usually, like, you know, when you got the Olympic cycle, everything everything builds up to that. Yeah, there's the World Championships, but everything is like 4 years. This is where it's going to be. Now it's all being delayed a year. And it's even for everybody. It's not like it's just Canadian athletes, but it's all Olympians. How has that impacted you mentally? Was it really hard to kind of have to refocus on a training pattern? Or because you've only been cycling for a limited amount of time, was it easier for you than maybe veterans?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't planning to stop after 2020, so there are some people on the team that had plans to retire, and so I think it was a little bit harder for them. But, yeah, all I've been doing for the past 3 years has been focused on learning how to ride this bike, how to become the best, how to qualify for the Olympics. So, that was my goal. But I had a week where I was upset and dealt with it, and then I'm right back to it, it's a blessing in disguise for me just being so new. I have so much to learn. And 2019 was a pretty crazy year for racing. Like, I did Pan Am Games, Pan Am Champs, and then a full World Cup season. So I didn't have a lot of time to train. So now I got blessed with another year, and I'm just getting stronger and better on the bike. So it's really exciting, to be honest. Like, I don't know what my limit is, and I definitely haven't reached it yet. So we'll see what happens for 2021.
So what are the type of things that you want to work on or really dial in for the next, whatever we're going to call it, 10 months, 9 months before the next Olympics or for the Olympics?
Everything. I honestly can improve in all areas, like tactically. I can get stronger in the gym. I can spin my legs faster. My endurance can get better. My everything can improve, and it has been. And so, I don't know what the end goal is. But I just am pushing every day and just seeing what happens. I have no regrets in the end. When I get on the line at the Olympics, I'll be very confident knowing I did everything I could to be the best that I can in that moment.
Kelsey Mitchell joins us. She's a cyclist now in track. Now, the sprint, were you always a sprinter? Is that what you like? And can you explain to me what sprint is? And then, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. Is it the Kieran or the Karen? What is that?
Yeah, I say Kieran, but people say different ways. So okay. Whatever you feel is right. I say Kieran. Okay. But yeah, there's three events at the Olympics for sprint. There's match sprint, team sprint, and Kieran. And we qualified two spots for the girls in match sprint and Kieran. So match sprint's 1v1, three laps, first one across the line wins.
Okay.
A lot of tactics because, drafting is a huge thing in this sport. So if you are in the front, you're doing more work, and the person behind can be drafting behind you. And then in the Kieran, it's six people, and there's the little moto that brings us up to speed. Drops you off at, I believe it's 55 kilometers an hour, and then it's three laps, first one across the line wins.
Which one do you like better?
Match sprint. Way less to worry about. I think I could be good in the Kieran. I have a decent long sprint in me, but okay. There's just five other people to worry about. It'll come. It'll get better. But yeah, match sprint's definitely more for me. The 1v1, you just have to focus on one other person.
Now, is there ever the tactic where people stall on the track and you just balance, waiting for the other person to go?
Yeah, so that's a match sprint. So that's if you want the back, or both of you want to be in the second position. So they'll track stand to try and get that. I personally cannot track stand, so that's not my tactic. So if they want to track stand, I'll just go past them.
Having done this now in a few years, the one versus one, do you find, like you mentioned, you might have to work a little bit harder if they're drafting you. It is only three laps. So do you care if you're in the front or the back? Have you found one position that you're much more comfortable or more successful in?
No, I wouldn't say front or back works better for me. I have a pretty good long sprint. I we have one gear. The bigger the gear, the lower your cadence will be. South America, for example, they like to use small gears, so they like to spin their legs. But since I can go longer, I toss on a bigger gear. So, I just like the three laps. You build it up to speed, and it's been working pretty well for me. Not focusing too much on trying to stay in the back.
Not one standard crank size. So if you want to be gear 12 and the other person wants to be a gear 8, that's the only gear, you can pick and choose your gear?
Yeah. Just whatever you have, that's what you're stuck with. So
So what gear, when you pick your gear, what is it? What gear is it you usually running in?
Like one, I don't know if this will make any sense, like 115. And don't ask me what the number means because it really doesn't make sense. But I ride a pretty big gear.
Okay. So that would be like, I'm just trying to, for our average cyclist people, like, I don't know, would it be like a gear 15 or a gear 12 or you know, going even higher than that?
Like in the back, we'll have like a 13 cog. And then in the front, it'll be like 60 probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Easy struts. when you mentioned that you want to get better, I'm just can you kind of go through like what's a cyclist's workout like when is squatting? Obviously, is it deadlifting? Is it one legged stuff? What are you doing to get more powerful that helps you become a better cyclist?
Yeah. So cyclists, we're like a different type of cyclist. Like we're strictly sprinters. Where there are endurance riders on the track and then there's like road cyclists. They don't do as much gym as us, but we're in the gym 3 times a week and we're doing Olympic lifts, we're front squatting, we're back squatting, we're leg pressing. We do obviously a lot of lower body exercises and plyo. That's kind of like the gym portion, but like even on the track, we'll toss on big gears and do like a standing start. And then you have to put out a whole lot of power and torque on the pedals to get it going. So, yeah, we got pretty big legs.
Yeah. So now you have big, strong legs. Are you weak upper body or have they worked in upper body? Because I see some cyclists, like when we talk Tour de France, like a lot of them have like strutty spaghetti arms type of thing.
What are you talking about?
So are you a little bit, do you guys focus on upper body or is it mainly lower body?
It's mainly lower body, but like I can do 5 pull-ups in a row. So, I mean, we still do work upper body a little bit. Probably like once a week we'll have some upper body stuff. But when we do Olympic lifts, you know, like you're pulling on the bar, so like you're working your back. It's mainly focused on lower body, but we're definitely hitting the upper body. Yeah.
For any people, now you got into this late. I love it. It's a sport. Like a lot of sports are actually more late developing than people actually think. But, you know, you'd had an athletic background, of course. So, that, you know, it wasn't like you just walked off the street one day and started biking at an Olympic level. But for kids who, you know, we got the velodrome here in Edmonton, what would you recommend if, you know, is there a good age and you talk to some people who've been in it? Like, is there too early of an age where you're probably just not ready to do a velodrome or that type of cycling? Is there an age that you would recommend people that might want to get interested in?
I mean, if you try it and love it, there's no reason you wouldn't start at whatever age you're at. But I mean, I played all kinds of sports and I think that definitely helped me become like the athlete I am now, where if you just strictly do cycling, you might be missing out on a whole nother, even like mentally, a mental aspect of it. You might just get sick of it. So focusing on like the one sport at a really young age, I don't think is the right way to go personally, but there is the velodrome in Edmonton, and you know, like that's where I started on the indoors on the rollers, which is basically just stationary biking, and I learned a lot there. So if you can get out and try the track, that'd be great.
Now Kel, could you ride a, like, would you excel on a BMX bike?
I don't know. No, I'm going to say no because, I mean, I'd probably get 5 really strong pedal strokes in, but then I wouldn't know what I'm doing. And the crankling, like everything's different. All like there's so many disciplines of cycling. It's crazy. I didn't know anything about biking before joining. And it's a whole
did you
other
ever
world,
have,
for sure.
Did you ever have a BMX bike growing up?
No, I didn't. Like, I had hand-me-downs from my sister, just like kids' bikes. I haven't owned a bike since I was like 12.
Really? So you were kind of a little bit like Phoebe, a little bit. Like, did you have an old banana seat?
No, but I had like the round, like mushroom helmet, you know.
Oh yeah,
the white ones. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, the Peter Klima of bike helmets. Yeah. I love it. Well, Kel, continued success with biking, and hopefully, you know, the Olympics of 21 go off. We'll be watching success. Is there any races planned in the future for you, or is everything kind of in a holding pattern?
There's talk of races between March and June, but nothing's determined.
Well, once there is, we'll definitely have to give you back, get you back on. Continued success, Kelsey. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.